This is a Handshake Agency podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Green Room Podcast on the Handshake Agency Network. Thank you for listening. We got another midweek release for you. I know we did Brandon Boyd last week on like a Wednesday, but this is another one. The reason we're releasing this one a little earlier than usual is because, long story short, I was meant to do this interview last week, even the week before, but I had to get my wisdom teeth out like an idiot. So it got delayed, but thankfully, a day to remember guitarist Neil Westfall was kind enough to push this interview back, to come on the podcast, to talk about the band's new album, You're Welcome. It is out right now. It's been out for a couple of weeks. So Neil was kind enough to come on the show, despite the album already being out for a little while, to talk about the album, the reaction from fans. Some love it, some don't know what they're hearing, and he tells you why you need to stick with it. And as well, we talk about our love affair for Blink 182, which is a lot of fun. So this is Neil Westfall on the Green Room Podcast. Check it out. Thank you for holding for that awkward technical delay. How are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
Good, man. We had to sit there awkwardly while we just sorted out some slight technical difficulties. But I asked you, and I don't know if you answered because the audio was so delayed. Where are you right now?
I am in Winter Park, Florida, which is where I live. I'm at my house.
Okay. How are you doing? Like, this is usually when we do band interviews for a new album. It's in the lead up to. This has been out for a little over a week now. How are you feeling now that it's finally out there after, you know, I imagine there's been a bunch of delays with this album. It's finally out there. How are you feeling?
I feel amazing. Everyone knows that we're not liars and it does exist now. It's there. It's here. It's happening. It's awesome. I mean, I feel it really just feels like I was able to like tell everyone this secret that I've been holding for like the last 2 years, you know, like as we finished everything and kind of got the artwork done, it's like been killing us just to like, I just want to show everybody like here, it does exist. I promise.
Well, this is the thing, right? So I caught up with Jeremy and Kevin at Good Things, which was the last time you guys were in Australia, which is December 2019, which feels like a fucking lifetime ago.
But it does.
In that interview, Jeremy was very confident that the album would be out in March 2020. And he actually said, like, Kevin has been in all of your faces saying, fuck this, we're getting the album out in 2020. Obviously, the pandemic hit, what, early March, late February. Was he telling the truth? Was the aim March 2020?
The aim was absolutely March 2020. It was honestly at that point, the only thing I think that we had left to finish was the artwork. We had almost all of the, like from his point of view at that moment, with the information that he knew, he was absolutely telling the truth. He absolutely believed that it would be out in March 2020. I think we all did. I don't think we expected to kind of be, I think we expected to come back, be able to get together, work out the artwork, bounce ideas off of each other, like in a room. And then the pandemic happened and then we all had to learn how to use Zoom. I think we all ended up building like computers and streaming rigs and like all these different things. And like were forced into this whole new area that we didn't even know, but just to finish the album. So we were forced to do that. And then we were kind of forced to be creative in this new weird thing. And it just took way fucking longer to do something that would normally take like maybe a month, if that. Like if we were on tour and we were able to work on it and be around each other every day, we could have knocked it out and we could have had it out way sooner. But like honestly, just trying to talk to an artist and convey ideas that are like very in depth and like very intricate through email and Zoom, and it's really weird, especially if you've never done it. And I think now we're obviously a lot better at it because we've been forced to kind of do a whole album artwork with it. But I think he really did believe that it would be out in March of 2020. I think we all did. But yeah, so.
Was there ever, you know, sometimes you hear when projects are very close to being completion, sometimes there's spatters in the works. Was the album as it is right now, or was there a giant chunk of the album that was just fuck this, we're starting again, we're doing this whole other thing?
No, it was exactly as it is right now. I think the last song we wrote was I think we wrote one song. I think we wrote Last Chance to Dance after Good Things. But that was always the plan anyways. And I think that when we worked with Will Putney on that song, his schedule and our schedule didn't line up until then anyways. And the plan was to kind of just do it and get it done. And it was going to be on there. It didn't really hold anything up and not really much changed other than that. I'm incorrect. We were on the Degenerates tour right before we're going to Good Things. It's been so long. I'm like literally remember, everything.
Good Things is December 2019, which honestly,
Good Things
feels,
was the last things we played. That was the last.
Like the last shows, genuine live show.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. The whole album was done at that point. We written all the songs. All the mixes were pretty much done. All we had to do was finish the artwork. Everything was exactly as it is right now. Nothing, no new songs. Wow. We finished, what I was confused is we finished Last Chance to Dance on the Degenerates tour, which was right before Good Things. And Colin came out and we finished a bunch of stuff like that was like kind of like, we felt weird about like there was a thing in the bridge of reentry that it was kind of needed to be massaged and we didn't like it. And so we recorded some drums from the arena that we were playing that day. And then we rented out a studio and we went in there and kind of like did a couple like percussion things and just things like that. But that was on that tour and literally no real massive changes happened after that tour.
Yeah. It feels weird. Like I've asked this question to almost every musician who's come on the podcast, especially musicians who are releasing albums. At what point or what day did you guys have the conversation when the pandemic hit where you were like, oh, fuck, we're not going to be able to release this album when we actually want to release it? When did, for lack of a better term, the panic station set in of, okay, March 2020 isn't happening?
I think it was like closer to the end. It was like way after March 2020 that we had that conversation because we weren't done with the artwork. And so we told them, look, do not put out another date. Do not discuss any possibility of a date until we finish this. Like until we feel confident. We don't want to like, we didn't want to make people, we were kind of against putting out the date in November of 2019. We were against putting out the date, even giving a date in March. Like we were like, you know, early, whatever. And so we didn't want to give a date. We didn't want to say like, this is when it was going to come out because we didn't know. We didn't know what things were going to happen. We didn't understand how it was going to play out. We didn't have the artwork done. And we knew that this was super important to us. And this kind of involved us telling the story of this album correctly and like the journey. And like, we even went back and forth. The biggest thing is like, it wasn't just artwork, right? Like people see it and they're like, that's the artwork that took forever. It was making the product with the vision that we had in mind when we were creating the artwork. Like we're still kind of doing that now. So for the like the deluxe version, that's the version that we kind of envisioned the album being. And we weren't able to do it in a cost-effective manner. We weren't able to produce it in time because of all the COVID restrictions on putting stuff together and people working responsibly and all that stuff. And so we kind of had to like take a lot of, we weren't able to do a lot of the things that we wanted to do. And we just had to accept that and eat that. And as more things kept coming, we were just like, okay, fuck, you know, like, all right, cool. We can deal with that. Okay. We're pushing it back again. It's like, thank God we didn't say a date. Okay. Oh, okay. That's going to affect this. Fuck. Okay, cool. So, and then it just thing after thing after thing. And I think that we didn't finally get to the point where we were like done until like November.
Yeah.
And at that point, we're like, we have to get this out right now. Let's put it out right this second. Let's drop it. And then we talked to our label and we talked to them about like the realistic timeline it would take for us to get vinyls, the realistic timeline it would take for us to get CDs made, because that's really important to us to have those products for our fans. Like a lot of our fans still really like to collect those things. They like to have those like pieces of real, tangible artwork that they can hold on to and look at. And we knew that that was really important. And they gave us the option. They're like, look, you can drop it now and not have that, or you can get those things like you wanted. And that's going to take until March. And then, I mean, even up until a week or 2 weeks before that, we were getting hit with like, oh, this might not happen because they fucked up how it was getting produced. So it just was, it's a fucking nightmare. It was one of the hardest records we've ever done. Like, because at every turn, there was just something new that was like, hey, man, this might not happen. This might not happen how you thought it was going to happen. This is definitely not going to happen how you thought it was going to happen. You're going to have to take a bunch of things that you wanted and just concede on them and let them be this way, because that's the only way it will come out. And we're like, okay, whatever. As long as it comes out, that's all we care about.
Yeah, so that seems to be the general consensus when I've had past interviews. Like, Foo Fighters is probably the biggest name that I can think of that came on the podcast recently. They had been sitting on this album for a year. You can't tour. You can't play shows. You can't really do anything. You have an album there. At some point, I imagine it's just a matter of saying, fuck this, let's just release it, because what else can we do? It's there.
Right. I mean, it's, for us, it was it, like, we felt that way. And then and on top of it, it was like, we had already had the album done for like, I mean, a year at that point. Like, it was done. And so we were just sitting on it, and we just had it. And we were like, you know what? Like, we've been working on this thing for like 2.5 years at, like, literally working on some part of the album for that long. And it was really hard for us to literally not be like, yo, just put it out. Because we wanted it, and we were like, look, if we've already waited this long, it might as well be perfect. It might as well be how we envision it. It might as well be exactly what we want out of this, rather than putting it out and people being like, really? Like, we waited this long and it's still not what you hoped it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it, even if some people don't like it, you know, it's like, at least it's what we were going for. At least that's what we are doing. And it's like, this is what our vision is, you know? And if it wasn't that, then we would feel bad, because we're like, you know, well, what, maybe if they would like it, if we would just finished how we thought, you know, whatever. It's like, you just don't want to leave any of those options on the table. You want it to be like, this is how we envisioned it. This is what it is. We didn't really take any, I mean, there was a few things that we had to concede on, but it, for the most part, it is what it, exactly what we wanted, you know?
Yeah. I love that as well. Like, if you, I was reading some interviews ahead of this interview, and every member of the band has had an interview, and you guys warned fans, like, this is out there. This is a mashup of genres. It's crazy. It's, would you say this is the most experimental album you guys have done to date?
I don't know. Yes and no. I mean, the way we did Bad Vibrations was absolutely new for us. Like, we had not created music like that since the beginning of the band. And that was when we didn't have Alex in the band. We didn't have Kevin in the band. So Bad Vibrations was also very experimental. Like, the genres may have been more in our lane, but the way we made the album, by getting in a room and literally writing those songs together, putting those songs together, having one mixer, working in one location that wasn't Florida, like, just flying there and living there for 6 months in Colorado, that was very experimental as well, and kind of how that process was. But I think because of that, we ended up making this record the way that we did, where we flew everywhere, wrote with everybody. We made the album here in Florida. We had multiple people that worked, that we wrote with, that ended up being producers and writers that, like, kind of gave us production to take into the studio that we then brought to Colin, and then Colin did Colin on it. You know what I mean? And so it was a very, it was like the antithesis of the Bad Vibrations process. And I do think that it was very experimental as far as, like, the genres that we worked on, but we've always wanted to do these things that we just never knew how, you know what I mean? And, like, the people that we were working with, they had their way of getting the sounds that we were looking for, or stuff that we were genuinely interested in at the time. We would have had, like, all these elements the whole time. We just didn't know how to do it. And I think that now it's a lot more accessible with how recording is, and being able to use, like, Splice and stuff like that and get samples. And then our knowledge of recording and getting sounds that we're searching for, and just being like, this is what we want. This is what we're going after. This is the sound we're looking to get. And then actually achieving it in our own studio with the time and the know-how of Rick Carson, our engineer, and the whole team at the Audio Compound, and Colin and Jeremy. And so it was, it's, it, for us, it's like, it didn't even really seem like that crazy of a push, you know, because it's like, we would have always kind of had these elements. We just are figuring out how to do that now. You know, it's like, this is up to par with what we want to put out. And these are, that's just, yeah, I mean, I guess it is. And really long-winded answer to your question. Yes, it probably is the most experimental album, but to me, it's kind of like, I think Bad Vibrations was more uncomfortable to make for sure.
After the break, Neil talks about his love for Blink-182 and the comparisons between this album and Blink-182's 2003 album, Untitled.
Hi everyone, Beck Privitelli from the GWS Giants here. I'm an Aussie rules diehard, but you won't find a better sports podcast than The Take with NRL legend Willie Mason and some bloke called Ian. Join Willie and that other bloke every week as he takes you through everything happening in the sports world and sorts your tips out. GWS for the win, obviously. Check out all episodes of The Take presented by the Handshake Agency Network via thepodcasts.com.au.
Going back on that idea of like, you know, you guys not knowing how to record or learning as you go, and I love that I can make this reference, and I promise we will talk about this soon. Would you say that was almost like your Untitled album for Blink? You know, they, when they made that record, they went into a house. They were experimenting literally with like furniture. Was that a similar, a similar experience you guys had?
Yes. And I've actually used that reference before. Because I genuinely believe that. Like, and I think it's cool that you noticed that, because to me, when that record first came out, I didn't like it.
Really?
They're like my favorite band. They are my like legitimately favorite band. I was obsessed with them at that point, and they came out and I wasn't ready for it, you know? And a lot of the songs, I'm just like, this is, what the fuck is happening? You know? And as I grew up, and as that album still existed, and I was able to revisit it at different points in my life, as I was able to grow as like a musician, as a person, as a fan of them, that album became probably one of my favorites because of how much they pushed, all the things they tried. Like, you still hear all of their influence, but it's just so different and so unique. And I kind of feel that same way about this album, where it was like, I kind of knew there would be a lot of backlash on a lot of the things that we did, but I knew that it would be okay, because I feel like as this album lives out there, this is going to be one of the most important albums in our career, because of how much we tried and how much we pushed and how much, you know, we really just did what we wanted to do. And I think for a lot of people, they're not ready for it. You know, they were kind of hoping for something different, and they were kind of expecting something different, even though, like you said, we told them from the beginning, this is going to be fucking different. This is going to be weird. And I think in their mind, they're like, they only knew what we had written up into that point. And so they're like, well, weird for them is probably going to be not that weird, you know?
Yeah. So I knew we'd be best friends because we're both, our names are Neil and we both love Blink. I want to talk about Blink in a second, but that's exactly what you just alluded to then, like that this is an important album. And I kind of feel the same way that Untitled was back in 2003. Even, you know, Bring Me the Horizons, when was that released? Ammo, 2018, 2019. Like it's an evolution. It's kind of taking the ship and just nudging it in a little other direction. And just as you said, like with Untitled, with this album, the reaction at first was kind of like, what the fuck is this? What's going on? What are they trying to do? As I was listening to Your Welcome, I got that vibe. I was like, this is nudging the ship just in a little other direction.
Yeah.
I think it'll be very important in your catalog. No pressure, of course.
Well, it's there. It is what it is. I mean, you know, that's the thing, is it's out there. And kind of when we talked about it in the beginning, it's like, I'm just happy for it to be out there. I'm excited for it to start its journey, because I feel like, you know, with the outdated system of like, this is the record's first week, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that's so outdated. It's not important. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's cool. You know, you get to brag about it. You're like, yeah, we got, you know, number two album in America. It's sweet. But it's like, I feel like this album's journey is like so much longer than that. Like, I think that like the first week is literally like the sliver of the pie that says like donate to charity. You know, it's like so small and like so minute that like the record's life just has like so much more. And I feel like I'm just excited for it to start that journey and allow people to have it and like live with it and start to create memories with it. Because I think that's the thing, is a lot of people have memories that they've created with like all of our other releases, and they mean so much to them, but it's like, this one's just new, right? Like, we've lived with it for 2 years and we love it. It's like, we couldn't imagine it not existing. And that's what makes me feel good about like putting it out there. And even though some people don't get it, or, you know, there is some backlash from like some old school fans, which, you know, obviously it hurts hearing some of the people don't like it, whatever. But at the same time, I'm like, just keep listening and trust us, you know, because we've lived with it for 2 years and we fucking love it. I think we love it more now than when we fucking first made it.
Yeah.
But it's hard to talk about your own band that way without sounding kind of conceited or weird. And I'm even listening to myself say this. I'm like, God, shut up.
No, I mean, I have those arguments now with crazy Blink fans, you know, like, and there are still people that I have arguments with, that, like, you know, Cheshire Cat and Dude Ranch are so much better than Untitled and Here's Why. I'm like, but it's an evolution. It's progressing.
Yeah.
And
it's all the same band.
Yes.
You still get those things. Like Homestick still exists. It wasn't like we have five albums that are on a shelf, and to make your welcome, we had to take one of them away. Sorry, fuck you guys. You know, it's like, it's not like that. It's like, we get to add to our catalog. And in my mind, I'm like, I can't wait to go play these songs live, because it's going to enable so many more, or so much more, like, for production, and so much more for like live elements, as well as our past catalog. Like, I've been on Twitch playing these songs that we've made when we were 17 years old, and we made when we were like 25 years old, and just feeling how these songs fit in, I'm like, this is going to be the sickest fucking album to go and tour on, because these songs are awesome. Mm. And they, in my mind, they invoke so many ideas for production, and it's just going to be, that's the one thing that I kind of am bummed about right now, is that we can't just go tour, because I feel like if we were on tour right now, we were able to showcase a lot of these songs in a live setting, I feel like so many people would be like, what the fuck? This is incredible.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, it sounds conceited, but
in a egotistical way. Look, you're on here to promote the album.
No.
Boast away, my friend.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I just feel like if we could go and play for people, like, even on the Degenerates tour, when we first put out Degenerates, people were like, I don't fucking know, man. That's weird. And I'm like, how is it weird? It kind of sounds like everything we've ever, like, really, like, Lauderdale and Degenerates, they could easily exist on the same album. Like, we could put fucking Monument, Lauderdale, Degenerates all on the same. They're fucking, that's a decade apart from each other. So, like, for me, I'm like, I don't really see how that's that different. But when we played it live, everyone's like, it was the loudest. It was like one of the loudest songs. And I'm like, oh, I thought you guys didn't like this. You know, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like playing. I'm like,
did you?
They couldn't hear me. I'm like, I'm just a rhythm guitar player. They don't have my mic on, you know? So,
is it true that, I don't know where I read this, is it true that you guys had enough songs that you initially wanted to do this as a double album, but the label said, no, relax, we'll just do one?
Yes, that is true. We wrote so much.
Yeah.
We wrote, like, on top of what were, like, finished full song ideas, I think we had another, like, 25 to 30 partial song ideas that were, like, verse, chorus. Some were like, this is a bridge. Some were like, this is a breakdown. And there literally is just so much material. Like, our Dropbox is, like, the pro Dropbox, because we need, like, fucking 5 terabytes to fucking hold all this shit. But it's, yeah, there was a lot. And a lot of it, I think the reason that we ended up reeling back is because a lot of it kind of, like, felt like maybe 2 or 3 songs were in the same vein, right? And so we were forced to kind of be like, this is the best song that feels like this. And then once we kind of did that, it kind of got down to like 16 songs. And then once we kind of got down to it, we picked the best ones that ended up being what we really liked and how it really made us feel, like, once it was all said and done. And then that is what is on Your Welcome. So, yeah, I mean, no stone was left unturned. We tried everything. We listened to everything. If someone had an idea, we tested it out. Like, we almost fully recorded songs that, like, we got done and we were like, yeah, we're not using that. You know, yeah. It's like, there was stuff like that. We have tons and tons of material.
Are you tempted, especially given the pandemic and not being able to go on the road, are you tempted to kind of be like, maybe re-release another album? Maybe.
I think that, I mean, we're definitely working on music. So it's not, I don't think because of the pandemic or anything. I think that, like, no matter what, like, we finished recording this album and we never stopped writing. So that kind of, we were done with the music part and done like kind of making the album artwork and all this stuff. Everything was like kind of finished in November. And so we've been just working like independently together. Jeremy and Kevin got together up in Nashville and wrote a couple songs. I have my studio down here. I've just been working all the time. And so we have stuff. We just got to get together and be like, let's figure out what we want to do with it and how we're going to do it. And I was talking to Andrew Wade, because I actually share a studio space with him. I was talking to him like yesterday, and he's like, where do you go after this? And I was like, fuck, man. I don't know. Like, you know, it's like, yeah. what direction do you push in? How do you, and I guess that it's like, it's never been an intention of ours to go in and be like, this is what we're doing. We go in and we're like, these are the best songs. This is how we envision them being. And then we make an album out of it. And so I think that that'll kind of be how that happens as well. But man, that question, I was just like,
Well, that's always like that. It's such an awkward end to the podcast that I've done with bands who are promoting the album, because it's like, well, what do you do now? You can't tour, you can't do anything. Some aren't interested in doing live stream events, so it's kind of like, we'll just sit here quietly until the pandemic's over, and then maybe we'll tour it. Like, what are we fucking meant to do?
Right. It's so weird, man. It really is. It's like, I was like pretty good with it up until a couple months ago, where I'm like, I forgot. Like, I would see videos of like us on tour, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I do.
But in the lead up to this interview, I was like, oh, I'll re-listen to the interview with Jeremy and Kevin. And I was like, that seems so long. And it's December 2019. It's not that long ago, but that feels years ago. So, so long ago.
I remember that tour, and it feels like I've like grown since then. And I like, even the person that I was then, I'm just like, oh,
you know,
it's crazy.
That's a perfect segue, because anyone who listens to this podcast knows that I'll take any opportunity to talk about Blink. And you said it earlier, they're one of your favorite bands of all time. Now, this band obviously has had a gigantic effect on you personally, professionally, and romantically, which has blossomed into the fruition of a new human being this past January. Congratulations, Neil the Dad.
Thank you. Yes.
So for those who might not be aware, tell me how this band, this great band, has inspired your life.
Man, so many ways. Like, obviously, they inspired me to pick up a guitar when I was younger. They inspired my sense of humor, which, you know, has given me everything in my life. You know, like, everything here is because of music. And I guess in a sense, it's because of Blink-182, because I saw what they're doing, and I'm like, man, I need to do that. I need to be around my friends. We need to be traveling. We need to be doing these things. We need to be like making these memories together and doing this type of stuff. And for me, that's all I wanted to do. I was like, man, if I could just do what they're doing, I would be happy, you know, and that's all I want, is to be happy. And so to do that, it really influenced everything. And even going back to having my daughter, I met my wife on the Blink tour. She was Travis Barker's chef. And so that's just like another thing that kind of Blink has done for me without really doing anything other than just living their life.
Is it weird that you can consider those guys friends?
It really is weird.
Like, do you walk up to Mark and just be like, are we friends?
Sometimes I can't talk to him. Like, and he's probably like, this dude's fucking weird. But in my mind, I'm like, holy shit, you're fucking Mark Hoppus.
Yeah.
And you're Mark Hoppus. And so, you know, I would even say this to him now. I like told him one time, I was like, dude, before we went on this tour, I was like doing like a cover band where I was you in the cover band. He's like, that's weird. I'm like, yeah,
that's a weird way to say that.
And now
you.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're one of those things. And I said this recently, I think that they are one of the biggest influences on this generation music wise because of like their sense of humor, how they did things, the music that they were creating. And then also like Travis going off and like literally working with like every young rapper, young artist coming up, like literally he's influenced a whole nother generation.
He was performing with Blink, then Linkin Park, and then doing the Grammys with Eminem and LL Cool J. The man has
it's
no boundary.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. And it's like, there's no other band where like all of their members are so influential outside of their group, but then also so influential in the group. And man, I was watching, like, literally last night, I was watching the making of the Untitled album on YouTube, and it's just so inspiring. It really, like, I just watch it and I'm like, cause I'm like writing music. Like I'm about to go in the studio and work on 3 songs the next couple of days just for fun. And I just watching them do this, I'm just like, yes. Just looking at them experience that lightning in the bottle feeling, that like when they're writing, like, I miss you, and they like put it together and then they're like playing it on the acoustic guitar. I'm just like, holy shit. Mm. That's that feeling you're always chasing, like, as a songwriter, and like for them to be able to capture that moment as it happened. And it just inspires me. Like, I watch it every once in a while just to like really reignite that feeling inside me. So I'm just like, yes. Let's go in the studio. Let's do it.
Being a fan and a friend, does it make it really uncomfortable when you, I imagine, would like to ask Mark and Travis, what's going on with Tom? Is Tom coming back? Are you guys going to do another album with Tom?
I've never like asked them about, like, we did ask him when we were on tour. We actually, Mark is like fucking just the most genuine, down to earth dude. We'll talk about anything. He's just so fucking real through everything. Like, they've experienced all the success and they've dealt with all this stuff, and he's just a fucking real guy. He's down to earth. We talked to him, we're like, yo, you know, what's the deal with that? And he's like, yeah, I don't know, Tom's doing his thing, you know. And he's like, we're still friends, we still talk. He's like, I talked to him yesterday or whatever, you know. That was like, that's what he said, like, whenever we asked him. And we're like, hey, will you play like all these songs for us? And we're like, do you care if they're like Tom songs? He's like, no. And then, you know, he's just like, we gave him a list at the beginning of the tour and we're like, will you play these songs? Cause we've never seen you play these songs and we really want to see him. And he's like, yeah, I'll make Travis learn them all. Oh, Matt will learn them too.
Didn't you guys,
we're just like,
am I completely wrong? Or did you guys not also support Blink when Tom was still there? Like, was that pre 2013? Was it?
We did Warp Tour with Angels and Airwaves.
Right.
We never played with Blink with, like, Mark, Tom, and Travis.
Yeah, okay.
What does the future hold? Who knows?
According to Tom, he's coming back. He just keeps saying, yeah, we'll be back. Exactly. At some point.
Yeah. And so when he does, Day to Remember will be right there. We will play whatever slot you will have us.
I was going to say, how does that work? Because without tooting the old A Day to Remember horn, you guys are in a very nice position to be able to say, hey, Blink Management, can we, you know, we'll open for you guys. That's not something you'd turn down, surely.
I wouldn't. I mean, I'd go to bat with everyone in our, like, anyone that didn't want to do it, I'd be like, what's wrong with you? We're doing it. We're doing it.
So
and not what, like, anyone would not want to, but, you know.
Yeah, of course. So what, I mean, I'm asking you the very cliche, awful question that you have no answer for now, which is, what will you guys do next? You mentioned this new music. Are you going to get together in a studio and maybe discuss releasing more? Or is this now just let's just sit on this and let's, ideally, you know, vaccinations are being rolling out globally. Optimistically speaking, we would like to think that there is the end is in sight, or at least not the end, but the being able to get back up on stage again is coming. Do you guys just want to tour, or do you want to release more music?
We're currently working on putting together some kind of like live stream thing. It's like obviously in the very early stages. Don't tell anyone, yep. But and. So we're doing that, but I mean, we want to just go play shows, man. And obviously we're working on music, like I've said, but there's no plan to like release more music immediately, right? Yeah. I think that if we finalize something or we work through something and we're like, this is fucking cool and we want to have it out there, I think that there's no reason to stop that. But it just hasn't happened, you know. I think that like I was saying, some of the songs that Jeremy and Kevin were working on when they were in Nashville, there's one in there that's fucking awesome. And I'm really excited to kind of work on that and put that together and kind of figure that out. But I mean, there's nothing outside of that, you know? So there's no real plans.
Yeah. Well, Neil, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate your time. Congratulations on the album. I think you're right. I think this is an album that on repeated listens, you're like, oh shit, this is what they were doing. There's no really like good way to explain that, right? But it's just, I think it's one of those things. Like, I don't know how you hated Untitled with the first time you heard it, but similar to Untitled, when I listened to this, I was like, oh shit, this is this is where they're going. This is awesome. And I think you're right. I think fans will catch up to that if they haven't already.
I think just even it being compared to an album of that stature is a compliment in my book. So, you know, I'll take that. I'm happy with that.
Neil, thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon, hopefully in real life soon.
Absolutely. I cannot wait.
Big thanks to Neil for coming on the podcast again, pushing this interview back. We were meant to do a couple of weeks ago, but big thanks to him for coming on. And thank you for A Day to Remember for sparing their time. The album, of course, is called You're Welcome. It's out everywhere right now. Be sure to check it out. And if you like what you hear, head over to thepodcast.com.au to check out all the other Handshake shows. And be sure to keep an eye or an ear out for The Green Room again this week, because on Friday morning, I'm releasing a new episode with US comedian and all-around legend Bill Burr. Make sure you head to thepodcast.com.au to check it out. Subscribe, review, rate, do all the fun things, and we'll talk again on Friday.
Green Room with Neil Griffiths is a podcast from the Handshake Agency Network, produced by Neil Griffiths, recorded and engineered by Zig Parker, executive producer Craig Treweek.